So if you can turn to John chapter 14, verses 26. Today the topic is kind of based on yesterday's outreach, because we were talking a little bit about spirituality. If I go to the internet and I ask people about what does spirituality means, I guarantee you we're going to get a bunch of answers. Not really focusing what spirituality is. You know, they will say that you have to walk in a certain way or look very sad, like the Pharisees were doing when they were, fasting. So they will have so many kinds of answers. So the question is, what is spirituality? You know, and I know that the believer who doesn't have enough Bible doctrine, or, you know, a new believer, a baby believer, they always come up with that. What is my spirituality, you know? So we're going to talk about, in John chapter 14, verses 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I said to you." So again, spirituality. What is spirituality? See, like we were talking about yesterday, at the point of salvation, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and indwells us. You know, that didn't happen. This didn't happen in the Old Testament. You know, David prayed, "Lord, do not take your spirit from me." The spirit was taken out of Saul because he disobeyed God. And it was gone. You know, and then, as a matter of fact, an evil spirit came. And David has to play, you know, his harp. But on David, he had it at that moment when the oil was poured on him, when he was chosen to be king. So immediately, you know, and through the prophet, you see Moses the same way. And Moses had to give some of his to the people who were in the tabernacle. You know, so he has to share that. Christ has to depart from earth so the Spirit will come, because it was in him. So he had to breathe it to his apostles, so that they can go and witness soul winning to the 70s, you know. But that was it. But for us, when the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, every single one will right now have it. So we no longer have sacred buildings. I mean, look at this place, you know what I'm saying? So we no longer have sacred buildings. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now the question is, why then is in us? No, God always wanted to tabernacle with us. That's His whole desire this entire time, is to live, you know, within us, to fellowship with us. So at the point of, people always ask, okay, so what happens then? If I have the Holy Spirit, then what happens when I sin? Do I lose my salvation? There's always the question the believers ask, you know, do I lose my salvation when I sin then? Because they don't truly understand who we are in Christ, you know. They don't understand their salvation, basically. They don't understand who they are in Christ. Their identity. So we have been studying in the last few weeks. But, so, in our soul, now, when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We can't get out. So where does the Holy Spirit dwell then? You see what I'm saying? Does it dwell in our soul, or does it dwell in our bodies? What does the Bible say about that? It says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit?" So the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our bodies. However, the soul is the part that is spiritual. So the point is, so at the moment we believe, we are spiritual. But when fellowship is broken, this Holy Spirit is still in the body, but the soul is the one that is out of fellowship. You see what I'm saying? So as soon as we confess it, 1 John 1:9, our fellowship is again reestablished with God. That's why wherever we go, He's going with us. That's why we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. This tabernacle that He made out of clay, resembles of clay, blood, I think God is so amazing in His design. Blood goes to our bodies. So this is basically a cover of our soul. But through His eyes, He sees the blood. The one that He's going to pay for. Isn't it amazing how He... through His x-rays, He sees the blood. Cleansed. Once and for all. And to me, that's... before the foundation of the world, He designed our bodies to be like that. So what happens then? As soon as we sin, we out of fellowship. How do we get back? 1 John 1, 9. So, sin and being in fellowship, you can't mix them. It's either you are out of fellowship or you are in fellowship. Either you're carnal or you're in fellowship. Because we can't, I mean, it's like we can't do a sin that is only 90% or 10% sin. We can't. It's either, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be the sin, a thought that we had. It's 100% sin. We can say, oh, that's a small sin. That's what people always say. Now, we were talking about the seven sins that God hates the most. God hates it. And fornication is not there. But the lying tongue was there. And we take it for granted sometimes. So somehow we're out of fellowship that way. Because as we just talked about, murmuring about somebody else. We're out of fellowship. So the one way, as we take Bible doctrine, we notice it immediately that we're out of fellowship. That's the only way. Through categorical doctrine, we can actually see, hey, I sinned against my brother. I didn't notice that. That's why I said, go to your brother. He didn't say go to Ashley, you know, and then you two go together. No, go to your brother first. And make sure that you're in fellowship. Therefore, now you can do this. Without this, you can't do that. So He gives us specific instructions. And something as simple that we don't see. Out of fellowship. Is tremendous, because if we don't have that fellowship with God, we can't grow spiritually. We are stuck basically receiving academic instruction. That's what we're doing. We can come to church as a habit, and unfortunately churches are like that. They're packed, they're coming. That's because they have to go somewhere Sundays. It's a habit that they have, but they don't have that fellowship with God. You know, it's just about, it's a show. You know, I went to church today. Like the guy was saying, he was coming late to church, and he says, I'm sorry, I'm coming late. Is there something that I missed? No, he haven't said anything yet. You know, it is just something that they always talking about, that they find to tickle the ears of the audience. But the fellowship of God is not there. That really growing spiritually is not there. See, the mature believer grows through the intake of Bible doctrine. Intake of Bible doctrine. That's how the mature believer grows. See, it's not, spirituality is not like sin, it's not just a percentage. Spirituality is not a percentage. I'm 20% spiritual today. It's not how it works. Either you're 100% in, or you're 100% out. Pastor Stephen said one time, you know, stop looking for your spiritual gift. It's not lost. You know, it's right. It's at the moment of salvation we receive it. So what happens? We make a decision. We make a choice to be out of it. As soon as we sin, it could be as tiny, and you realize it immediately. Through categorical doctrine, you can say, oops, that's sin. And you confess it, homologeo, you confess it, you name it, you cite it. You agree with God that there's something that you're lacking in your spiritual life. And each one of us know our own souls. Each one of us know our own heart. That weakest link that we have, but the enemy can always come in. We know that. So that's why we pray that the Lord will help us to overcome that. To help us to overcome that. To overcome that. And then we overcome that. I'm sure another one's going to show up. But we pray towards that. We pray towards that. Eventually, as we develop this mature life, we become then useful to train others. Useful for them to see how we live. Because sometimes as believers, we become a bad example to unbelievers. No doctrine. We behave like an unbeliever. Sometimes even worse. At least the unbeliever has a moral life. He likes, God will forgive me. Yeah. So sometimes we are a bad example to believers. But God says, no, my goal is to you to grow in maturity so I can use you as a tool to the world. So it's pertinent that we take Bible doctrine in. In that way, we can have a, you know, we can take in Bible doctrine. We can hear our, you know, our pastor teacher. We can take in categorical doctrine. We can have a body life. We can do missions. We can do soul life. All those things come as a result of being spiritual. If we're not spiritual, we're not going to have the desire to do those things. Because there's no capacity. Only through that, as we walk and we learn this, all these pages of scriptures, we store in us, then walking in maturity, in spiritual maturity, that be able to do these things and count for God. Because you got people there going with signs, thinking that the world is helping God. God doesn't need our help. When the Bible says that God needs our help, we're always trying to help God. You know, God doesn't need that. What He wants us to do is to be a mirror, is to show the love that He had in the cross, to show others what He did for us. That's what He wants to do. Not going there helping. Okay, you know. And but at the same time, our responsibility as mature, and that's the beauty that we have a small group, you know, because we can take doctrine in much quicker. I remember when I went to school, there were 28 people when I started, when I went to technical school. 28 people in a classroom, 3 graduated. So the 3 just took it in. And I enjoyed it myself because I was just like a sponge, you know. But it is, in a setup like this, it's very true. When we take the Word of God, you know, with less distraction, you take it in, you mature much faster. Not going to a large church where they have to preach milk every week. And here you can get meat every week. That's how we grow. You're eating meat every day and you're growing. You're eating it, you're masticating it. You know, you're mixing the word with faith and you grow much faster in maturity. You're going to see how we fail and we recover. And then we fail, we recover. And then we recover. And then next thing you know, we sing less. That's the way to maturity. When we discover that we're sinning less, and when we sin, we catch it. Because many people sin, and they don't catch it, they don't know it. Baby believers. And sin builds up upon sin. Before, they're trying to fix the one in the bottom. And on the top, the one in the bottom have babies already. You know, God puts you in there and has destroyed the whole thing already. And then the spiral starts. And it's so hard. You can, with God's help, you can do it. But it's very difficult. That's why to walk in the spiritual walk, in the spiritual way with the Lord, taking in Bible doctrine, staying in fellowship. We're going to think sin, but you know what? Confess it. Merely. You confess it merely. We're going to grow. Because even, sometimes, even in church, you know, you're talking, I got some people sometimes, he was next to me, and he was talking to himself, no. What is he saying about, you know? And after a while, he goes, I'm sorry, I have to tell Satan, no. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, you know. But he was, you know, a couple of, in another same, and he was, no. And I was like, okay, you know. So, and afterwards he came to me and said, I'm so sorry, I disturbed you, but I had to tell Satan no. He was attacking me during church. And it can happen. As a mature believer, Satan doesn't want you to take in the doctrine. Just those specific doctrines that, you know, the heavy-duty doctrines, you know, like that we're talking about forgiveness. That's a hard doctrine to, hard thing to do. Because, you know, our hearts are wicked. I will forgive you, but I won't forget. That's what our false nature tells us. But to fully forgive is powerful. And God did that for us. Even though we were sinners, yet He died for us. So, spirituality is huge. Failing to be filled with the Spirit then, basically, if it continues, you know, we sin and we don't confess it. We sin, we don't confess it. The Bible tells us, you know, first of all, to be filled with the Spirit, but two, if we don't do that, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we continue to do that, we continue to do that, and then what happens? And then we quench the Holy Spirit. And there's a command, if you notice, those three things. One, be filled with the Spirit. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, and do not quench the Holy Spirit. It's a command. Why did He tell us to do it? Because we do it. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually in our lives, we still do it. You know. So He says, do not do it. So what happens if we do it, confess it, rebound? Let's walk again. Because we're going to do it. As believers, we're going to do it. We're humans. Not until we get that new body, that resurrected body, just like the Lord, and then we're going to start doing it. Because all sin nature will no longer be there. It is done. So, I just hope we encourage each other this morning. That's my little message.